Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, in case you didn't know. All right, chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Today I want to speak on verse 4, Jonah's message. Jonah the prophet was no doubt weary and worn from his recent calamities at sea. Yet we don't read anywhere that the prophet stopped to seek lodging or a place to rest. That tells me that there was a sense of urgency in his step. He doesn't stop to gaze at the magnificence of this heathen city, nor is he awed by the greatness of the city. He enters into the city of Nineveh with no fear of its wicked heathen inhabitants, nor was he intimidated by the power and the prowess that that city represented. He was on a mission to preach the message that God had given him, and he was not to be deterred. Well, as Jonah entered the city and began to preach his message of gloom and doom, I mean, basically, he just basically told them, repent or you're going to be damned. You are going to perish. I thought that the inhabitants of Nineveh must have marveled at this strange Hebrew prophet. I don't know what he was dressed in. John the Baptist wore camel's hair and was girded with a leather girdle. Maybe that's what Jonah was wearing. Any other foreigner would have entered into the great city of Nineveh quiet, very quietly, with fear and trembling. The Assyrians were known. They were infamous for their bloodthirsty acts of cruelty and hatred against their enemies. Yet Jonah comes to Nineveh without fear, lifting up his voice in judgment and in warning. As he cried aloud in the chief places of concourse throughout the city, I can imagine that the children who were playing must have been hushed. The workmen must have stopped to hear the message of this strange and fearless prophet, because they did hear it. The inhabitants of Nineveh no doubt wondered at the preaching of Jonah. Nineveh was the capital city of the greatest empire of the world at that time. No one had been able to defeat them or overthrow them. Yet here was a Hebrew prophet, a sworn enemy of the Assyrian people and the Ninevites, coming in and did not soft soap or water down the message whatsoever. He just tells them that in 40 days, the city would be overthrown by the judgment of Almighty God. And it amazes me that the inhabitants of the city did not kill Jonah for preaching so boldly and forcefully. Here's a guy fresh out of a whale gut, thrown up onto the land, comes running in the city, repent, or you're going to be judged in 40 days. God's going to bring His wrath upon this city. Well, you would have thought a bunch of them would have got together and just killed him. Yet the hand of God was on this prophet. God's men are indestructible until God is finished with them. Now, I thought about the preaching of Jonah. He did not come preaching the love of God to the inhabitants. Rather, he warned them of the wrath to come. There's not a whole lot of preaching in our world today that warns sinners of the great danger that they're in. If they don't have a change of mind and turn from their wickedness to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Most people have no concept, they don't even have a thought of eternity, much less an eternal judgment that awaits if they die in their sins. If you die in your sins, that means you still have them. That they'll be yours throughout all eternity, and you will bear the weight and the judgment and the wrath of Almighty God throughout the infinity of eternity. People say have said, well, he's a hellfire and brimstone preacher. I am. Because I believe that hell is real. The lake of fire is real. And that's what will await anyone who does not receive and believe that Jesus died for their sins and was buried and rose again and is alive forevermore. If you're unchanged, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still throughout all eternity. What a blessing, though, that you got preachers like Jonah, preachers like me and others who will say you need to repent, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just once, not just twice, but over and over and over again. You see, I never tire of preaching the gospel. I never get weary of preaching that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I want that to be the message of my life. Jonah was no mealy-mouthed preacher. He was firm as he delivered the message that the Lord gave him. He preached without fear or favor. He didn't try to water down his unpopular message to make it easier for his hearers. There were no jokes, no entertaining stories to amuse his hearers. The theme of his message was God's impending judgment for their wickedness, their worldliness, their ungodliness, their immorality. Repent or else. Jesus preached a similar message. He said that you must repent or perish in your sins. No man likes to be rebuked for his sins. Nobody likes to be warned of the righteous judgment of God for their sin and the just judgment that they are worthy of for their sins. People, as a general rule, like to think of themselves as pretty good and not worthy of such harsh judgment. And you know what? If you compare yourself to me, or maybe to your neighbor, you probably are pretty good. But when you compare yourself to God's standards of righteousness, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who never did sin, and the law of God that reveals His holiness and His righteousness, if you're honest, you have to come away looking at the life of Jesus, looking at the law of God that Jesus fulfilled, and you have to say, woe is me. I'm unclean. I'm an idolater. I've used the Lord's name in vain. I have forsaken His day. I've dishonored my parents. I've committed adultery in my heart. I have stolen God's good graces and mercies. I've had feelings of anger that were hatred. I've coveted. So, wait a minute, preacher. You're just getting way too strong. Measure yourself against the breadth of God's law, and you'll have to say, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what we all are, apart from Jesus Christ, lawbreakers, worthy of judgment. Jonah preached with a sense of urgency, as the people of Nineveh would only be given 40 days to repent of their godless ways. Now you think about that. God even gave them a timetable. You don't have that. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I can't come preaching and say, if you don't repent within 40 days, you're going to die in your sins and go to hell. Because I don't know that. Life's like a vapor. It's there for a moment. It vanisheth away. I don't know how long you're going to live. My message to those who are yet in unbelief is, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Because you're not promised a tomorrow. Jonah also preached with great plainness of speech. His sermon was not filled with a bunch of theological jargon that the hearers could not understand. Rather, his preaching was so plain, so simple, that a little child could understand what he was saying. I believe with all my heart we ought to open the Bible. Preachers ought to open the Bible, read their passage, explain what it means, and make application. But all preaching should be aimed not just merely at dispersing information, but rather it ought to be persuasive. It ought to be transformative. If all you do is listen to sermons and fill your head and never make application, you're really wasting your time. What you need, all of us need to do, and you think about it, if you're here for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you've got about 4 hours of intense time put in on preaching and worship and singing and prayer. 4 hours in the week. That's not a ton. Now, I certainly believe you ought to live each day unto God. that every day should be an act of worship in everything you do. So, but the point I'm making is when you come to the house of God to hear the Word of God, ask God to prepare you to receive it and apply it. You know, I fear that a lot of preachers don't speak plainly enough to the people that they minister to. They fear they're going to offend people or run them off. But our message must be to the point and delivered in such a way that there should be no misunderstanding about what is being said from the pulpit. Another thing about Jonah's message, it was delivered in the streets of Nineveh where the people were. You know what? I'm going to stop there because I got too much to do in 5 minutes. We'll pick it up and next week make practical application from these first four verses about Jonah's obedience and message.